From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Coming up on the program, media literacy. We'll talk about what that means, about a new requirement that Illinois students be taught a unit on media literacy, and what the growing lack of media literacy is doing to American democracy. That's later on the program. But first, we begin with Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. The Democrat is in his fifth term in the Senate. As the majority whip, he's second in command to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. He's also chairman of the important Senate Judiciary Committee, which oversees confirmation of federal judges, matters of criminal justice, and more. In order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with Senator Durbin yesterday afternoon. He was in Washington. Now, I have to warn you, the quality of his phone connection was not perfect. You'll hear a bit of digital stuttering now and then during our conversation, but sometimes when dealing with busy, high-level government officials, you have to take what you can get. I spoke with Durbin about the killing of Tyre Nichols in Memphis and what Congress might do about police brutality. We also talk about assault weapons, abortion, monopolies, the federal budget, and how he thinks President Biden is doing in office. Because this part of the show is on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail anytime, day or night, at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Okay, here now is my conversation with Senator Dick Durbin. Senator Durbin, welcome back to The 21st Show. Thank you for being here.
It's good to be with you.
There's so much to talk about, but let's start today with the death of Tyre Nichols after he was beaten by police officers in Memphis, Tennessee. Nichols had been targeted by a special street crime squad. As chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which oversees criminal justice issues, I wonder what you think of this sort of warrior mentality that so many law enforcement agencies and officers have adopted.
Well, we're in quite a mess in this country right now when it comes to police law enforcement. And the reason is we're seeing more than we've ever seen before. Videotapes have changed the conversation. It's no longer one person's word against another. You witness it right there on the screen. And when it comes to evidence of crime, DNA testing has changed that conversation dramatically. People are serving long sentences for crimes they could never have committed. That calls into question some really fundamental pillars of our justice system. The Senate Judiciary Committee has a big agenda, as you can imagine, starting with the appointment of judges to fill vacancies and lifetime positions, and all of the issues of the day, whether it's the revival of the fight over the Equal Rights Amendment to drug policy in the 21st century. I don't believe that we can avoid the reality, though, that police reform and some conversation about it is necessary.
What would Congress's role be in reining in that sort of warrior mentality, that warrior training that so many police officers get?
Well, there are specifics that we glean from every one of these instances. For example, the whole use of chokeholds. I mean, that was raised several years ago, still unresolved at the federal level, on a national basis, I should say. The same thing may now be said about tasers and chemical sprays in the face of people who are unarmed, couldn't be charged for anything more than a traffic offense, if that. Some of the basics are pretty obvious, but they don't get to the heart of it. The heart of it is the screening of recruits for the police force and the monitoring of their activity once on the force to make sure they're living up to the best standards. We have a lot of good cops in this country, and we need to say that over and over again. They risk their lives every day for us, and we should never forget it. The good cops can't stand the bad cops. I've never heard a good cop try to defend what happened to George Floyd. I doubt that anybody would even suggest they would defend what happened to Tyre Nichols. But there's got to be a system where we screen these cops into the force and then monitor their activities afterwards in a fashion to make sure that they're in control of the situation.
When you're talking about policing and changing the laws around policing, and I think this will be true of most of the things we talk about today, what can you and your fellow Senate Democrats and the House Republican majority agree on in terms of changing the laws?
That's the $64 question. We have a brand new leadership in the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy. He went through 15 ballots before he finally approved. He clearly had to win the votes of some people who weren't on his side and made concessions to do that. Specifically, as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I face Jim Jordan, a congressman from Ohio, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee. I don't know him very well. I've only been in the room, same room with him once or twice. We probably look at the world a lot differently, but I hope in some of these issues we can find common ground.
On a somewhat related issue, Illinois recently enacted a ban on the sale and possession of firearms that state law now categorizes as assault weapons. Currently owned weapons are grandfathered in, but it's nevertheless been the subject of several legal challenges. Meanwhile, as you know, the U.S. Supreme Court has been taking a rather 18th century view of firearm ownership laws. Should states like Illinois and cities like Highland Park be able to say which firearms people can and cannot own?
The shooter on the last 4th of July in Highland Park went to the roof of a building and fired off 83 rounds in 1 minute. As a result, people died dead on the sidewalk. Those law enforcement officials who were nearby hadn't even located him before he discharged those 83 rounds, and they couldn't stop him. Really, that calls into question some basics. Why in the world should anyone own a gun with that capacity? Why should we continue to sell them as if it's a routine instrument for sport or hunting or even self-defense for that matter? This is an incredible assault weapon designed for military purposes. And I agree with those in Illinois who are doing their best now to make sure that the wrong people don't own them and those that do own them act responsibly.
A related firearm question. In the last week or so, some of your colleagues and you got together to call attention to something called a JR-15. What is a JR-15?
This is disgusting. This is an Illinois company that has made a rifle, a 22 rifle, that is resembling a small version of an AR-15, the same gun used by the shooter in Highland Park. They've designed it to appeal to kids, literally kids. I went to the floor and showed what was stamped on the stock of these guns. It was a cartoon figure that looked like a skull and crossbones of a baby with a pacifier in his mouth. You think to yourself, what in the world is going through the minds of the people that design that marketing campaign to try to entice young kids to beg their parents to buy something that looks like an AR-15? And just in case you think it's too subtle, as you mentioned, they call it JR-15. It's supposed to be something that is a lethal weapon that kids can buy at the request of their parents. That is horrible.
Why would advertisements, though, and specifically this branding, why would that be against the law? You've asked a federal agency to look into the advertising there.
Well, enticing children to buy dangerous products is something the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to police. I hope they do.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. In order to make our schedules meet, we spoke Tuesday afternoon. While we're on the subject of contentious political issues, do you see any possibility that the Congress could take up legislation related to abortion in the next couple of years? Or is this effectively going to be another issue where there's a stalemate?
It appears to be a stalemate, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on that when other issues should be resolved. But I tell you, the Dobbs decision has unleashed in this country a new appreciation for the rights of individuals to make fundamental private decisions. I think it was a major factor in the last election campaign and will be in the next. The fact that some of the congressional Republicans believe that bringing this issue for the public to remind them of the Dobbs decision is to their political advantage is plus just plain wrong from where I'm sitting. You know, we went through 50 years of contest on Roe versus Wade, changes and variations and court interpretations. We had reached kind of an uneasy truce as to how abortion procedures would be regulated in America. Dobbs threw that out the window. Now there are efforts underway, as Senator McConnell suggested, for a national ban. Others say, oh no, it's just state regulation. The states in 24 different states have gone from one extreme to another in terms of lessening and restricting an individual's right to choose. I think this issue is going to be red hot. I don't think Congress is constituted in a way to make much of a difference with it in the next 2 years.
I do want to ask about something that does seem to be uniting Democrats and Republicans, and this is an issue around live entertainment. Taylor Swift fans were disappointed last year when Ticketmaster could not handle the demand for tickets to her shows. You chaired a hearing on this last week. Why is the Congress getting involved with this issue?
Because it's a federal issue. We're dealing with the antitrust laws of the United States. This company, Live Nation, Ticketmaster, controls somewhere north of 75% of all the business for the major venues for entertainment and sports, and the major actors and celebrities who appear at those venues. As a consequence, they basically set the standard when it comes to charging consumers for the use of those facilities and attending concerts. The system absolutely crashed when Taylor announced she was going to go on concert tour. And it reflected the fact that once a monopoly takes control of the situation, quality control is not part of the equation. Making money is the only part of the equation that counts. Came through pretty clearly. I think those who witnessed that Judiciary Committee hearing might have been pleasantly surprised that Democrats and Republicans seem to be reading the same handbook.
You know, one related topic to this is that looking at the FTC again, there were high hopes among progressives and anti-monopolists for the Federal Trade Commission under Chair Lina Khan. I think it's fair to say those hopes have been largely unmet so far. Do you think the FTC is doing enough to protect consumers on this topic and many other issues, including a lot around big tech and privacy, for example?
I still have a lot of hope for the FTC. Keep in mind, it took some time to put her on the job and even a longer period of time to give her the resources to go to work. I wouldn't give up so quickly. I think you're going to see some dramatic activity over there during this year and the next.
Moving to another topic that is going to be taking up a lot of brain space around the Congress this year, and that's rising concern about a fiscal calamity, as some Republicans in the U.S. House have been demanding cuts in spending in exchange for raising the debt limit of the federal government, which, it must be said, is typically a perfunctory act when people are not attempting to use it for leverage to pursue a policy agenda. How worried are you about the U.S. actually defaulting on its debt?
Speaker McCarthy and the MAGA Republicans in the House are playing with fire. We have never defaulted on our national debt. The full faith and credit of the United States depends on our reliability and meeting our obligations. And it's just a simple equation. You buy something, you pay for it. And that's what this is all about. What we ought to do is reflect for a moment what happened when Donald Trump was president. His fans all say, oh, they picked on him. They made life miserable for him. Three times he asked for an extension of the debt ceiling, and three times Democrats and Republicans gave it to him with no hooks attached, no strings attached to it. And we did it at a time when during his presidency, listen carefully, during the Trump presidency, the national debt of the United States accumulated over 230 years, increased by 25% in those 4 years under Trump, giving tax breaks to the wealthy, for example. So all those things were occurring, and now we're hearing from Speaker McCarthy and the House Republicans that they want to run the risk of defaulting on the national debt to prove a point about how good they are at balancing the budget.
One of those areas of contention over spending of the federal government is going to be with regard to support for Ukraine. Are you confident the U.S. will continue supporting the Ukrainian government with weapons and some financial assistance?
Yes, I am. It's a strong bipartisan support, despite the few MAGA Republicans in the House of Representatives. And I think it will continue, both in the Senate and with the majority vote in the House of Representatives. Listen, what a terrible tragedy it would be if we say that, you know, we've been at this for a year, we're getting a little impatient. Why is this war going on? It's so uncomfortable. Uncomfortable hell. Putin invaded this country without provocation. He threatens their people every day, killing innocent people and displacing refugees. It's guilty of war crimes. We have accumulated the evidence to prove that. If we turn, cut and run, and don't stand behind the Ukrainian people, shame on us.
Has the U.S. moved quickly enough in sending more and more advanced weapons to the Ukrainians? They were just tanks in the last week or so.
It's a delicate decision process. We've got to keep the NATO alliance together. And though they don't advertise a lot of disagreement, there is a lot behind the scenes. We now have resolved the issue of tanks. I think it was resolved in the right way. The United States stepped up with M1 Abrams tanks. It'll take some time to get them into the field of battle, some time to train the Ukrainians to use them, but it works. Something called a HIMAR missile system that we gave to the Ukrainians took a few months to put in place. It was a game changer at that point in the war. So I think we're moving in the right direction. I think NATO is unified, and this is going to be a positive effort to tell Putin is a heavy price to pay to continue this.
As you said, artillery, then armor. Is air power next?
Well, the president has said it is not, and I hope it doesn't have to get to that point. I think that currently the air power being used on the Russian side is not significant in the battle. I hope that doesn't change. In the meantime, I can see the president carefully drawing lines to keep the NATO alliance together and also not to provoke Putin to do some reckless things.
We're almost out of our time together. You and other congressional leaders met with President Biden at the White House, I believe it was last week. Since you had a chance to interact with him face to face, you're in a unique position to say, do you think he's still up to the job? There have been a lot of whispers and people saying, oh, he's losing a step. Maybe he shouldn't run for another 4 years. Where are you on that question?
Clearly, he is up to the job. I work with him. We have conversations almost on a weekly basis. We discuss issues of gravity and seriousness. He's on his game. Yes, he's an older man, but he certainly understands this process better than most. It is well experienced in the Senate as vice president to President Obama and currently as president are really the hallmarks of his administration. And we've achieved a lot in 2 years. We can do more. And I think Joe Biden is doing a good job. I stand behind him.
Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, thank you for being with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
More to come on the 21st show in just a moment. Stay with us.